Chapter 49. The reports were in, and Jesse read through them. The autopsy results weren't going to do Monty Bernstein or his client much good. As far as the autopsy went, there were no surprises. As Dr. Minter had surmised, upon his initial view of John W. Vandekamp's body, any one of the three shots from Alicia's off-duty piece could have been the fatal shot. The one peculiar and interesting piece of evidence Jesse found was in the forensics analysis, not the autopsy report. Vandekamp had gunshot residue on his right hand and clothing. Gunshot residue didn't just magically appear. You needed to either fire a weapon yourself or be in very close proximity to a weapon being fired. And Alicia had been way too far away for the residue to have come from her weapon. There had to be a gun. But there wasn't a gun. "Molly," Jesse said, walking out into the main room of the station house, "get Detective Lieutenant Weld on the phone for me." She cleared her throat loudly. "Please, Molly." But Jesse wasn't smiling.
"What is it, Jesse?"
There was GSR on Vandekamp's right hand and clothing. 20 seconds later, as Molly picked up the phone, Mary Weld came into the station. She had a computer case slung over her left shoulder.
"Jesse was just calling you."
Weld lifted the left corner of her mouth, which Molly took for a smile.
"He in there?"
Weld pointed at the office door. Molly got up.
"He is."
Weld waved Molly back down into her seat.
"I can manage."
She knocked and waited for Jesse to acknowledge her. When Weld entered, they shook hands. She sat herself down without the usual formalities.
"Officer Crane tells me you wanted to speak to me."
"I did."
"Let me guess," Weld said. "The GSR.
"Uh-huh. There had to be a gun." Weld didn't answer immediately. Instead, she removed a notebook computer from her carrier, put it on Jesse's desk, and booted it up.
"Oh, there was a gun all right, Chief Stone. Just not when Officer Davis said the gun was there."
"Am I missing something?"
"Give me 1 second."
Weld tapped the keyboard, turned the computer so the screen faced Jesse, and pushed it toward him. She stood up, came around the desk to stand behind him, and pressed the enter key. A somewhat grainy black-and-white still image came up on the screen. The image was of a man standing behind a counter, a cash register to his left. On the wall, at his back, was an array of handguns and rifles of various types, calibers, and purposes.
"This is CCTV from the Magic Valley Handgun and Rifle Range. It's about 5 miles due west of here."
Weld hit the enter key again.
"You'll notice the timestamp in the upper right-hand corner. And, here he comes, John W. Vandekamp, a member of the NRA, the National Association for Gun Rights, and just about every other gun organization you could name, and some you can't. He was also licensed to carry in New York State."
The video showed Vandekamp approaching the counter, producing items from his wallet, and having a friendly exchange with the man behind the counter. The counterman handed ear protection and goggles to Vandekamp and pointed him in the direction of the indoor range. The image switched to the range, where another employee places 3 gun cases, 3 boxes of ammo, and 9 paper targets down on the stall platform. Vandekamp appears in the frame and has a brief discussion with the employee. Weld stopped the video.
"I don't think we need to watch him, do we, Chief Stone?"
It wasn't really a question. He rented a Browning 1911, a Colt Python with a 6-inch barrel, and a Luger. Note the timestamp. This session ended approximately 90 minutes before the video footage of Officer Davis, gun drawn, chasing Vandekamp unarmed directly past this station.
"Apparently unarmed," Jesse said. "Just because Vandekamp didn't have a weapon in his hand at the time doesn't mean he was unarmed."
"That's almost verbatim what Mr. Bernstein and his client claim. She says that just before they come into frame on the station's camera, she thought she saw Vandekamp reaching into his jacket for a weapon."
"Do you have any reason to doubt her?" Jesse asked.
"You mean besides the fact that we can't find this weapon?" She was legally drunk, and she was the responding officer to the cross-burning for which Mr. Vanderkamp was a person of interest? I'd say we have plenty of reason to doubt her.
Jesse's cell buzzed in his pocket. Excuse me. He looked at the screen, saw it was Connor Kavanaugh from the hotel, and refused the call.
Look, Chief, I'm not trying to bury your cop, but it just doesn't look good, and I didn't want you to get your hopes up about the GSR.
Thanks for the courtesy. I understand you've got your job to do. Off the record, cop to cop, is there anything at all that you found that hints at exonerating her?
Cop to cop. Two out of the 11 witnesses who heard the shooting claimed they counted 9 shots, not 8. And one witness who lives on the town side of Newton Alley says she heard people talking and footsteps in the alley after the shooting. But some people heard 5 shots, some 15. And the witness who says she heard footsteps and a conversation lives on the second floor with only a sealed bathroom window onto the scene. It'll all be in the report.
How long before you issue the report?
Still waiting on some of the forensics, she said, but pretty soon.
There was nothing more for either one of them to say. It was pretty obvious what Wells' conclusions would be. And Jesse had to admit, given the evidence, he would probably draw the same conclusions. Alicia had killed an unarmed man.